What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 190 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We are spoiling you guys, giving you two episodes in 1 week again. Of course, it is because we are going to be taking Christmas off. So we figured we would record episodes back to back. We just wrapped up episode 189, where we talked about the dawning weapons. And now we're going to talk about the weapons we originally planned to talk about this episode, which were Stars and Shadow, Crowd Pleaser, and Xeno classes are the weapons that come from it's the only playlist that matters, Crucible, Gambit, and the Strike playlist. So we're going to be talking about all of those. These are going to be a little bit of a bitch to break down because they actually have a ton of perk options. They're like the old school D1 perk pools where there's like 20 options per slot. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about here. But thankfully this time we don't really have any housekeeping since we just did episode 189. We talked about it all there.
Yeah, I mean, let's, you know, we'll throw the obligatory shout out to ZenSoCal, as ever, sponsoring this and all episodes along with all of our patrons. And let's get straight into the meat of the 5,000 perks that exist on each of these guns.
Yeah, so we're going to start with Crowd Pleaser. It is a heavy adaptive archetype grenade launcher. It is void, 120 RPM. That means there's a half second in between each shot. The blast radius is 30, which is very standard for that archetype. The velocity is 39, which is kind of average. They roll between 36 and 45. The stability doesn't literally matter at all, but it is 47. The reload speed is 47, which is kind of on the lower end, but they're all between 45 and 54 anyway, so it's not like there's a huge margin. The handling is 46. Nobody really cares a ton about that. The inventory, unfortunately, is pretty low at 22, actually like startlingly low for that archetype. Most of them are in the 30s. Some of them are up at like 48. It's kind of weird to see that one so low. What that probably means is you're going to get one or two less in reserves. And then the aim assist is 58. That doesn't matter. And the mag size is also 5, which is low. So unfortunately, this gun potentially could have been one of the good DPS grenade launchers that we're used to, like Interference or Blast Batu or anything like that. And just kind of isn't because of a low inventory and low magazine size.
You know, and you couple that with the fact that it's not exactly an easy gun to farm because it's just a drop, and it's got an absolute ridiculous number of perks, so you just never know what you're going to get when it does drop. It's going to be pretty tough to come away with a really solid roll on this gun.
I agree. And so, you know, that being said, we'll go over it. Obviously, there are three ways that you can use these heavy weapons. One, you can use it for a PvP roll. Two, you can use it for an add clear roll in PvE. And then three, you can use it for a DPS roll. Like we mentioned, it's probably not going to excel in the DPS roll. And just kind of because of the way Crucible is working right now, it's probably not going to excel in the PvP roll either.
Yeah,
but the PvP and the PvE add clear rules are a lot of times really very similar, so we'll kind of talk about all of those.
Well, let's take a look here at what we have. Boy, so many perks. I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, it's actually like we've been spoiled by Destiny 2, only providing us 6 perks per slot. I think this one has like 10 and 1 and 11 and another, but you know, we'll start, as we always do at the beginning, with the barrel perks. For PvP or for add clear, you're going to want to max blast radius. You know, you don't want to hurt velocity too much. It's okay if you hurt it a little bit because blast radius is really going to net you those kills and do you that extra damage to adds that are surrounding it or to people who are close by or to, you know, a person who you potentially miss. So what I like, you know, volatile launch is +8 to blast radius, but it's -5 to velocity. Confined launch is +5 to blast radius, -9 to velocity. So obviously we prefer volatile launch over confined launch. And then you've also got linear compensator. Linear compensator is only +2 to blast radius, but it's also +4 to velocity. So I'm a really big fan of the premium one being volatile launch, secondary being linear compensator. And then, you know, I just don't feel like confined launch is worth it considering how much it takes away from velocity just to give +5 to blast radius. So I really want to go volatile launch then linear compensator.
You know, I think that's fair. Ultimately, if I'm hanging on to this gun, I'm hanging on to it because maybe I want a void grenade launcher that is, you know, that's leveled up and maybe I get a good roll out of it. So I'm not going to turn my nose up at confined launch, but I definitely would prefer volatile or linear compensator as well. You know, and then we've in the next slot here, we've got, again, just a ton of perks to choose from. It has spike grenades, which I would really love to choose, and actually could be good for taking out yellow bars if that's your plan. This is a 50% damage bonus on the impact damage. So,
if you are using it for that, remember that you want to kind of get as much velocity as you can to go along with the spike grenades, because then you're not really going for blast radius, you're going for direct hits. So, you would want something like quick launch and the barrel perk, which gives you +9 to velocity. Smart drift controls, +4. Linear compensator is obviously great. It's +4. You could also do like hard launch. Hard launch is +13, and it only takes 2 away from velocity. So that's not a bad option right there. I would stay away from either volatile launch or confined launch, because those both hurt velocity.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. A good call there. Trying to maximize your impact damage here, not worried about the blast radius if that's your specific purpose. If you're just trying to blow up groups of adds, though, then obviously spike grenades is a total waste of space, because you're not likely to hit one. And if you do, they're going to die no matter what you do.
Yeah, if you are trying to kill adds, then you really want to use either high explosive ordnance, which is +4 to velocity, +5 to blast radius. Or, I guess you could technically use high velocity rounds, which is +9 to velocity. Doesn't hurt anything else, if you just want to do that. Proximity grenades is hit or miss. It takes 10 away from blast radius when you attach prox grenades. What I found in PvP is that what it actually is likely to do, because it hurts the blast radius so much, you will likely get a prox debt that does not kill the person.
Yeah.
When it prox debts next to them. And to me, that's frustrating. I'd much rather just hit near them and have the blast kill them. So I actually don't like proximity grenades too much for Crucible anymore, but they're great for clearing, red bars and stuff like that. And in PvE.
Yeah, my strategy in PvP with a grenade launcher is usually to bunny hop and hip fire and just try to hit a wall or the floor next to somebody if I can't hit them. I'm usually aiming for somebody's feet, essentially. So proximity grenades, pretty much a no-go in any situation on this gun. Other good choices that I would suggest for PvE would be anything that bumps up your magazine size. Extra shots is always nice. You've got augmented drum, which is +2 to the magazine. Does give a -18 to reload speed, which kind of sucks. But in PvE, you can usually find time to reload if you need to.
You've also alternatively, alloy casing, if you just want the reload speed and you don't care about anything else. I think alloy casing really pushes the reload speed up a ridiculous amount.
Yeah, it's a huge buff. You've also got mini frags, which is +1 to the magazine, +9 to reload speed, but it does penalize blast radius -5. I feel like that's probably not worth it. I'd probably rather get augmented drum.
PvP, that's definitely not worth it. PvE ad clear, it's kind of like, what is 5 blast radius going to be anyways? They're all going to die at this point,
You hope. Sometimes one gets through, and it's really annoying to have to waste the second grenade. Anyway, it also has sticky grenades, which I feel like is just kind of fun, but not actually
ultimately
super
useless.
Helpful.
Yeah. No. I can count on one hand the number of times I've been killed by sticky grenades in PvP. I've probably been killed by my own sticky grenades more than I've been killed by other people's sticky grenades. When I forget that I have a sticky grenade launcher equipped and I shoot it, and then I walk over it later and it kills me. So, yeah.
Serves you right.
Yeah, the the options in the next perk slot, it's amazing that you can have so many options and have so many of them just not be very good. But so let's go down the list here. I'm going to read them all out and then we'll talk about them. You got Grave Robber, Underdog, Ambitious Assassin, Genesis, Killing Wind, Field Prep, Surplus, Clown Cartridge, Pulse Monitor, and Threat Detector. So right off the bat, I'm going to go ahead and say no to Grave Robber, no to Underdog, no to Threat Detector, and also probably no to Pulse Monitor. Even though Pulse Monitor isn't the worst thing ever, it doesn't help you at all in PvP, and in PvE, I just feel like you have better options. So right away, we're going to kick 4 of those perks out, which leaves us with Ambitious Assassin, which is actually pretty good. Actually great for ad clear in PvP.
Yeah.
Really fantastic. Genesis. Genesis is pretty much only good if you're using it to take down yellow bars. If you break a combatant shield with this weapon, it fills the magazine from reserves. If you hit a matched shield, it puts ammo back for every hit, right? I've actually found this to be very good for things like Nightfalls with match game, where you're always trying to match. And I will say that's pretty much the only place I found it to be super useful. I really, really found myself appreciating Genesis and Nightfall and then not using it anywhere else at all. But anything that's master level, I suppose there's also Empire Hunts now, which are also master level, so.
And Genesis is also, you know, it's I feel like it's always handy in Gambit. I think it originally came into the game with Gambit.
It did. It was on the Gambit rocket launcher so that you could match the void to the shields of the taken witches or wizards or whatever.
Yeah, so you know, I think it's still useful there. You know, obviously you've got three different color shields to break now, but, you know, this gives you a very easy way to break one of them, and it reloads the gun for you for the DPS phase that's upcoming. So handy for a few different things there. What else do we have left here?
I mean, you've got Killing Wind, which is probably the only perk you can use for PvP in this, because everything else has to do with either reloading or stability, and neither of those two things help you in PvP. So you've got Killing Wind, and remember that range on grenade launchers actually just straight up improves the velocity, right? So, you know, that's that. You've got Field Prep, which you like, and Field Prep is also quite good for this gun, because it helps with the inventory and it helps with the faster reload, you know, if you were to use something like that. You've got Surplus, which in this case doesn't really do a ton because it's stability and handling, which you don't need, right? And Reload Speed, which just isn't really that useful. You've got Clown Cartridge. Clown Cartridge, I feel like I would just much rather have Ambitious Assassin. Clown Cartridge is great. It actually procs, I would say, probably 50% of the time. Like, every other reload, it just refills greater than average. And I actually really, really like that. But the fact of the matter is, with Ambitious Assassin, I can force it to overflow by just getting kills with it. You know, so if I was doing DPS, I would probably take Clown Cartridge. If I'm going to do PvE ad clear, then I'm going to take Ambitious Assassin.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like that's one of the areas where these grenade launchers can really shine in PvE, is when you need to clear a bunch of adds, possibly a bunch of shielded adds. I think Ambitious Assassin is phenomenal. If you can drop it, you can wipe out three or four red bars at a go pretty easily. And you reload, you're going to have a bunch of extra rounds. It's a feel-good moment for everybody involved. Field Prep, I can never say enough good things about. Having extra ammo in reserve is always nice, and reloading faster, also always nice.
And the last perk slot, we actually have a bunch of decent perks. So they took all the good perks and they put them all in one perk slot, so you couldn't have two of them. Moving Target is not one of those perks. Totally useless. Rampage, very good for PvE ad clear. Decent for PvP. Unrelenting, we're probably going to ignore. Elemental Capacitor, probably also going to ignore. I think the only one that would matter would be Solar for the increased reload speed, and I just don't find it to be worth it, because you also have in this perk column Thresh for PvE, Demolitionist for PvE, Chain Reaction for PvE, which is a great, or Quick Draw, which Quick Draw, you know, could be decent for PvP, I suppose. But I would take Rampage over that 10 times out of 10. But really, I would take Chain Reaction over everything, because Chain Reaction, we've talked about before, Firefly for explosives. I'm really, really in love with that. So that's what I would take if I were doing ad clear. Obviously, if you're doing, that or Thresh for ad clear. If you're doing damage to the boss, you want Demolitionist.
For sure. Yeah, get that free reload when you throw your grenade. Never gets old. Chain Reaction is kind of the control perk for this gun, right? If you're running in the control playlist, people are grouping up on points. You catch two people standing next to each other. One grenade quite possibly gets you two kills. So I think that's one of those new perks that is, for me, just really, really shines on the fun factor. And occasionally on the effectiveness factor. And I think that, I don't know, it just makes it really attractive as an option, because it's something that you can't get elsewhere. And I like to have a gun that kind of stands out from the other guns in the same type.
So these are some long reviews when you have so many perks. And you know what's sad is that was actually the least perks that are on one of the guns that we're going to review. Both Xenoclast and Stars and Shadow have more perks that we're going to have to talk about. So let's go ahead and swap over to Xenoclast. Xenoclast is the lightweight shotgun. I believe Xenoclast comes from where where does it come from? Is this one from Gambit or is this one from Strikes? I think this one's from Strikes.
Oh boy, I don't know.
Well, that's what light.gg is for. So I was correct, it is from Strikes, and I think that, Kutch, you have some education on the name Xenoclast.
Yeah, so Xenoclast actually, it's another one of those words that kind of comes from some dead languages. So a clast, apparently, is a piece of rock that has been broken off from a larger piece of rock. You could almost call it a pebble. And Xeno, of course, means alien. So this is a piece of rock that has been broken off from a larger piece of rock from some other planet or star system. So it's an alien pebble.
And it's the fourth one of those, because it's the
Xenoclast. And it's the fourth one. Yes.
Okay. So Xenoclast.
The fourth of that name.
Xenoclast is a, like I said, it's a lightweight shotgun. The nice thing about the lightweight shotguns is, despite the fact they don't do as much damage as some of the other shotguns, they do have a decently high base range. They really come in second only to the precision shotguns in terms of the base range, much higher than the rapid fires, much higher than the aggressives. So the Xenoclast, if we're talking about stats, the range is kind of right in the middle at 50. That's very, very average. You've got the, you know, 7th Seraph down there at 49, and a lot of people find that to be useful. So if you like the 7th Seraph, you might like this. The stability is 40. That doesn't really matter a ton. The reload speed is 59, which is on the bottom edge, but it's all between 59 and 64, so it's not a huge deal. The handling is 69. That's not terrible. You know, you've got Hawthorne's Field Forged, which is down at 64. 7th Seraph is up at 72. The aim assist is 44 compared to the 46 of the 7th Seraph, and the magazine size is 6. So it's very, very standard. So pretty much, if you like the 7th Seraph CQC, you will like the Xenoclast 4, at least statistically.
Yeah, I think it's a well-built gun. The bones are good. And lightweights also have a nice little bonus to your mobility. That is, I think the big reason that they are popular in PvP. You can move fast, and you can two-tap from outside of the aggressive shotgun one-hit kill range, which occasionally lets you beat somebody out who's otherwise playing, you know, an arguably stronger weapon. You can use your mobility to kind of outplay them.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of perks for PvP, and I'll be honest, I'm not a huge shotgun fan in PvE, so I'm going to struggle a little bit with the PvE perks, although I kind of think you just straight up go with handling. I think that's the only thing you can do on a PvE shotgun.
As much ammo as you can possibly get, and damage buffs, handling, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so
it's really not that different.
for PvP, though, you'd want either full choke or rifle barrel would be your two options for PvP. And then in the barrel perks for PvP, you're probably going to want accurized rounds. Secondary to accurized rounds, you can maybe go with light mag. Light mag gives you +5 range and gives you +9 reload speed. Or you could even go with assault mag, which assault mag just ups the rate of fire, because then you'll be getting those two taps a little bit faster, and you can maybe start engaging from further distances, planning on the two tap as opposed to trying to map someone with a lightweight, which you're not really going to be able to do compared to something like Felwinter's. Like, it doesn't matter how much range you put into this, you're just not going to one-tap someone at the distance that Felwinter's is, but you can two-tap someone from outside Felwinter's distance, which kind of makes it helpful.
Yeah, so, like, to kind of break down one of the differences there, like, the lightweight, in order to one-tap kill, like, it does less damage, so you actually need 11 out of the 12 pellets that are fired randomly within that cone to hit, which is fairly unlikely. Felwinter's, by comparison, and its various aggressive cousins only need 9 pellets to hit. And each of those pellets is doing more damage. It's just overall a much more efficient use of ammunition in terms of getting kills. But if you're not concerned about that efficiency, if you're counting on getting the kill and taking their special ammo to go kill somebody else, yeah, this could work out pretty well for you. So, to kind of put in mind for those non-shotgun users what the strategy differences are between the two types.
And interestingly, in the first perk slot, they did us a huge favor. For PvP, there's really only one option, which makes it nice, and it's Slideways. It's one of the few guns that has Slideways and Slide Shot. Or sorry, let me...
Slide Shot,
not Slideways.
Yeah.
So it's one of the few guns that has Slideways and Slide Shot, which basically do the exact same thing. When you slide, they partially reload the weapon magazine, they increase stability, but Slide Shot boost range and Slide Ways boost handling. So actually, there are some people who would say that they would prefer Slide Ways because they want, because you can't roll quick draw on this gun. So
right.
They want to try to get the quick draw type thing, in which case you would actually prefer Slide Ways over Slide Shot. So I guess potentially you could have two options, Slide Shot or Slide Ways, one or the other. But those are really the only two perks that make any kind of sense for PvP, with the exception of maybe you could call Pulse Monitor, since Pulse Monitor gives you quick draw when you are critically wounded. But I don't like the fact that the trigger for that is when you're critically wounded, because if you're swapping to your shotgun when you're critically wounded and you're not a very strong player, you might be in a lot of trouble.
Pulse Monitor is one of those perks where they really want us to like it. And they keep making it a little better and a little better, trying to get us to pick up on the that specific playstyle, and I'm just not sure it's worth it. I feel like Slide Shot is going to be probably the most useful overall in terms of being able to pick up some one-tap kills with that extra range, making sure that you're landing your two taps. If you're going that route, Slideways is fine. The stability is, you know, completely worthless, essentially. But it does reload the gun, and it does boost handling. So if you need to, if you kill somebody, you need to swap to another weapon quickly, you're going to be able to do that, which is nice.
Yeah, and then there's a decent amount of good perks for PvE, too, because a lot of them are related to reloading. There's Grave Robber, which is really fantastic for a shotgun in PvE. There's Dual Loader, which although it kills the reload speed, you load two shells at once. And that actually is, they timed it out, I believe it was Fallout who timed it out. It actually is faster to use Dual Loader to reload than it is to just reload normally. There is, Genesis, which is kind of okay, particularly if you're going against Fallen that have arc shields. Field Prep, which you love, and Auto-Loading Holster. So not a bad bunch of perks for PvE.
Yeah, lots of ways to get more ammo back in the gun, which is really, in PvE, you want more shots and you want to load them faster with a shotgun. Like, there's just not much to it.
Yeah. And then you've also, in the second perk slot, you've got Demolitionist, which is great for PvE for boss damage. But you also have 1-2 Punch, which is almost even better. Because it buffs up the melee damage. According to D2 Gunsmith, I have not tested these numbers, but this is what D2 Gunsmith has listed on the tooltips. It says that against Ultras, it actually buffs melee damage by 350%. So if you were using this for, if you were using this for boss damage, you fire every pellet into a boss, activate 1-2 Punch, then punch him, and then basically repeat the process after the cooldown's done, and you could get some decent damage on that.
Yeah, the sad thing is that it also has Trench Barrel as an option, but of course they're in the same column, so you can't just flip back and forth between the two of them doing ridiculous amounts of damage.
There's actually really good... This is now twice that they've done this, but there's actually really good perks in this last column. For PvE, obviously 1-2 Punch, Trench Barrel. For PvE Ad Clear, you've got Rampage, you've got Thresh, which are both great. You've got
so
Killing
good.
Wind, which is great for PvP and PvE. You've got Vorpal Weapon, which is great for PvE boss damage. You've got Surrounded, which is great for PvE ad clear. You've got Swashbuckler, which is great for PvE ad clear. You've got Eye of the Storm, which is actually interesting to see on a shotgun. You don't see Eye of the Storm on a shotgun too often. Eye of the Storm is a very decent perk, especially if you pair it with something like Pulse Monitor. I would actually say it's probably fantastic paired with Pulse Monitor, because what it does is it basically gives you quick draw and a more accurate shotgun when you are at critical health. That's actually something that I would, it's kind of like a little gimmick, but I would actually use that. I bet you could probably get some pretty disgusting kills at critical health when you switch, when your pulse monitor triggers and you swap to the gun and then just, blast someone from a range. And then you've also got Disruption Break, which breaking enemy shield makes them more vulnerable to kinetic damage. So this last perk slot is just absolutely freaking loaded. No matter what you're trying to do with this gun, whether it's big boss damage, whether it's PvE, whether it's PvE, I feel like there's just a lot of options here.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Where I kind of felt like with the grenade launcher, Crowd Pleaser, that there were a ton of options and most of them were just not worth your time. I feel like on Xena class, there are a ton of options and a lot of them could end up giving you a very useful shotgun for, you know, some kind of specific purpose. There's even some great pairings, like you mentioned the one, and then, you know, there's also Disruption Break and Genesis, both triggering off of breaking a combatant's shield. So you can pop a shield, it reloads the shotgun for you. You can swap to a kinetic and do some bonus damage. You know, and then, you know, maybe you take cover, reload your primary, flip back to the shotgun, which is already loaded. You know, you can kind of take that playstyle. You've got a bunch of great boss damage perks. Xenoclast. I feel like Xenoclast really is a pretty strong gun to chase, although it's there's no actual way to chase it except to just play the game.
Well, I mean, and it's also hard because it's like for all three styles of play that you could use Xenoclast for, I see at least two options for all three.
Yeah.
Games. There's potentially like six roles that you could have that would be fantastic roles. Sometimes more, right? Like, do you want a 1-2 punch roll for boss damage? Do you want a trench barrel perk for boss damage? Do you want a Vorpal weapon perk for boss damage? Do you want a demolitionist perk for boss damage, right? For ad clear, do you want rampage? Do you want thresh? Do you want swashbuckler? Do you want surrounded, right? Like, there are really, really, for PvE, do you want slide shot? Do you want slideways? Do you want pulse monitor? Do you want eye of the storm? Do you want, you know, like rampage? Like, there's, do you want killing wind? Like, there's all these perks that you can get for every single one of those options, to where it's like, you know, the worst thing is when it gets mixed and matched, right? Where you get like one PvE perk and one PvE ad perk and one PvE boss damage perk or like something like that. Like, that's what's going to suck about it, is there's so many perks here. I figure it's going to be kind of difficult to get the ones you want. But, you know, it doesn't matter how you want to use this gun, there's going to be something there for you. There's going to be a god roll for you.
Yeah, unless you get super, super lucky, I feel like you're almost better off just to kind of ignoring the barrel and the magazine perk slots and just focusing on the last two and trying to get the pairing that you want, because your odds of just getting that pairing are so bad that you almost have to just take whatever you get in the first two slots. You know, I mean, it's really, how many perks do we have here in each of these slots? Let's see, we got 12? It's 12 perks in each slot. So that's, 1 in 144? If there are two specific perks that you're chasing. I mean, your odds are slightly better if you're happy with a couple of different rolls, but 1 in 144 drops of Xenoclast are going to have the exact two perks you're looking for.
Yeah, and then try to add your barrel perks into that and see how that goes. Yeah, no, it's going
to
be...
Not great.
It's going to be something. So, Xenoclast, you know, if you like any of the things we talked about, fantastic weapon. Highly recommend chasing it. And good news is it's not from Gambit, so you can just chase it with strikes. I've actually gotten a number of rolls of Xenoclast myself. Not anything that I've wanted yet. But that is it for that one. So we're going to move on now to Stars and Shadows. Stars and Shadows is actually my favorite of these three. It is actually my new main primary weapon for PvP. And I'm actually using a decent amount of PvE too. It is a Solar High Impact Pulse Rifle. I think it is very fantastic. I think it is one of the better high impact pulse rifles that we've seen. Granted, there aren't a ton that we can use right now. It's pretty much just Stars and Shadow and Cold Denial. And what Stars and Shadow has is the more normal 1.8 times zoom. That Cold Denial has the 1.4. So Cold Denial's field of view is a little bit easier to work with, but Stars and Shadow pretty dramatically outranges it because it has so much higher zoom. So let's talk stats. The base range is good. It's 66, but the high impact pulse rifles are all pretty much between 60 and 66. So it's not like it's, you know, head and shoulders above everything else. The stability, as would be expected, is quite bad at 49. But again, you know, most of them are between 48 and 59. So again, it's only like a window of like 10. The reload speed is 41. It's not great, but it's average. They're all between 39 and 44. The handling and the aim assist are actually where it kind of struggles a little bit. The handling is 31. Something, you know, like Redrix's Claymore would be 38. And then the aim assist is 28, which is pretty low. Cold Denial, for example, is 32. Redrix's is 39. And the recoil direction is also bad. So statistically, here's what's weird, is that statistically, it seems like it's not a great gun. And that is true. Statistically, it's not a great gun. I think Redrix is pretty head and shoulders better than it. I think Cold Denial, with the exception of the lower zoom, is better than it. Mag size is 27. But what I like is that there's so many possible roles on this gun. I myself have one that is Arrowhead Break, which completely fixes the recoil direction problem. Flared Magwell, which gives me a little bit of stability and a faster reload speed. And then I also got Feeding Frenzy and Kill Clip. And Feeding Frenzy and Kill Clip is just enough for me to do. I'm doing like 47 damage per headshot once Kill Clip procs, and I'm just tearing through people. So for 6v6, for Iron Banner, this has absolutely been my go-to gun. But the fact of the matter is, the range is good enough to compete with stuff like Trusty, to compete with those scout rifles. And the time to kill, if you two-burst someone, I think the time to kill is what is it? Is it the 0.67 seconds with 5 crits in a body?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But the 3-burst time to kill is also fast. The 3-burst time to kill is 1.20 seconds, which is pretty good for a body shot time to kill. So you're pretty much guaranteed, as long as you hit most of your shots, you're pretty much guaranteed to get a 3-burst kill every time you use this gun. And then if you get a 2-burst kill, you're shredding people. There's not another primary in the game that can compete with a TTK-wise at range outside of, you know, like SMGs and sidearms up close.
So I really want to like Stars and Shadow. I do not like the higher zoom. I feel like 1.7 is too high on a pulse rifle for my taste. I never felt super comfortable using Bygones at 1.7. And Stars and Shadow to me just feels very similar. It just feels like I'm too far in. And while it's totally fine on a scout rifle, for some reason, I don't know if it's just kind of the chunkier shots on a pulse rifle where you've got that bup, bup, bup. Something about it just throws me off, and I don't care for it, but I really want to like this gun. So I don't know if I just need to, like, I don't know, try to throw everything into stability to make it feel more like a scout. Or what I need to do, but I get so many of them. I haven't gotten any super phenomenal rolls yet, so I'm not too worried about it, but they drop like candy.
Yeah, you know, if you don't like the zoom, there's not a ton that you can do, because obviously it's a barrel perks gun, not a scopes gun.
Yeah.
I find that maxing stability does help a pretty decent amount. However, that being said, this is one of the guns I actually prefer Arrowhead Break. Because the base recoil direction is 64, which means if you give it just chambered compensator, it goes up to 74, which is maybe on any other gun, I'd be okay with it. I had one with chambered compensator. I just didn't feel like the burst spread was tight enough at 74. I tried to give it a counterbalance mod, and then I felt like I was wasting a mod slot. And not only that, but it brings it up to, brings it up to 89, which isn't too bad, but I just couldn't get over the fact that I was using a barrel perk and a mod slot for that. I didn't really like it, so I ended up switching over to Arrowhead Break and a targeting adjuster mod, because the aim assist is pretty low. So I'm using Arrowhead Break, I'm using a targeting adjuster. I really want steady rounds in my barrel slot. Even though it hurts the range a little bit, it has an excessive range, it's okay. Like I said, I have Flared Magwell. I was fortunate enough to where I got a stability masterwork. With Flared Magwell and the Stability Masterwork, which is about equivalent to what Steady Rounds would be, I find it to be very, very comfortable combined with Arrowhead Break. I find it to be a very, very easy gun to use. Very tight burst spread. Does function kind of like you said, like a scout rifle. So I'm pretty happy with those perks up front. You know, like I said, you could go Chambered Compensator. I would 100% recommend Arrowhead Break or Chambered Compensator. I would not recommend just slapping a base counterbounce mod on it if you don't get a recoil direction barrel perk, because it's going to pull it up to 79, which is an awkward, awkward recoil direction. And even though it is higher than 64, it actually ends up being a little bit more side to side, because it's closing in on 80 instead of closing in on a 5 at the end of it, which is the way I don't know, it's like a sine wave or something like that. Someone explained it in the Discord a while back, but
yeah.
All you really need to know is that it shifts side to side. You'd much rather end closer to a 5 than you would end closer to a 0 for recoil direction.
Yep. Yeah, it is a sine wave. Like I said, I haven't gotten a roll that I'm super happy with, and there's... as with all of these guns, there are so many perks that my odds of getting a roll that I'm going to be happy with are pretty low. But yeah, I think I would definitely want Arrowhead Break and Steady Rounds to even consider using this gun, regardless of what the other two perks are.
Yeah, and then in the first perk slot, you have a couple of pretty decent options for PvP and for PvE. For PvP, you know, you've got Quick Draw, which is pretty fantastic. You've got Surplus, we've discussed that. You've got Killing Wind, which is pretty decent as well. I've actually been looking for Feeding Frenzy, and now I'm not looking for it because I actually have the role that I want on the gun right now. But Feeding Frenzy is pretty great. Outlaw is fantastic. For Outlaw and Feeding Frenzy are both great for PvP or PvE if you're using this as an ad clear gun. You know, Killing Wind is fine. This isn't a gun that you really need the mobility with, nor is it a gun that really needs the range, although it is kind of helpful. Quick Draw, you know, this isn't really a blinting gun. You know, it's not a hand cannon. It's not, you know, like a shotgun or anything like that. You don't really necessarily need Quick Draw, so I haven't found myself really wanting it. You know, a poor man's version, if you do get Kill Clip in the final perk slot and you don't get Feeding Frenzy or Outlaw, Firmly Planted could actually work for you, because you only need to be crouched at the beginning, I misspoke. I was thinking about Field Prep. Field Prep can actually work for you, because you only need to be crouched at the beginning of the reload. And in PvP, it's very easy to slide crouch, hit reload, and then continue moving on your way, and you still get the fast reload with Field Prep. So it can actually kind of work for a poor man's like Kill Clip Outlaw combination, but it doesn't require you to get a kill, or it doesn't require you to get a headshot kill before that.
Yeah, I was actually gonna say I almost want Firmly Planted on this gun. It's already you know, in the high impact frame that the weapon is more accurate when stationary and aiming down sights. So because I'm like I said, I really, really want to like this gun, but I'm just not liking the feel of it. I almost want Firmly Planted just so I can just crouch and hold still and just lane with it. And just have absolutely, like, the most stability and accuracy buff that I can get out of it. So you know, just since you mentioned Firmly Planted, that's kind of the perk I have my eye on, although it's probably not the objectively the best choice.
Yeah, I find Firmly Planted hard to use with pulse rifles. I don't know if it's because of the distance that I'm at, but I find strafing to be almost a necessary component of counter gunplay with a pulse rifle. I feel like when you go stationary with a pulse rifle, you become much more of a sitting duck for snipers and for trustees and stuff like that. Whereas like with an auto rifle or something, I can slide into engagements and I'm very, very up close, right? So a lot of times I can force the other person to move enough that it throws their aim off. Whereas with a pulse rifle, because I'm engaging from such a distance, I'm not really forcing them to move at all. So if I'm also not moving, then it ends up at two stationary targets. And if they're using a gun that kills, you know, at that range well, especially snipers, because they still shoot through flinch, not as badly as they did before the nerf, but they still shoot through flinch, I get domed a lot. So I have shied away from Firmly Planted. And, you know, honestly, I use this gun in PvE a decent amount. It's actually one of my main PvE guns, but actually the role that I want is still the same. I still like Feeding Frenzy. I still like Kill Clip. Now, of course, you know, you've got Thresh, which would be fantastic. You've got Dragonfly, which is pretty good. You know, you got Vorpal Weapon. I don't know necessarily that I'd put Vorpal Weapon on a primary, you know.
Maybe not this primary anyway.
Not going to use Elemental Capacitor because I use Stasis all the time and that does nothing.
Yeah. One day, perhaps, there'll be a stasis field on that elemental capacitor, but not today. Not today, Satan. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of perks to choose from for both PvE and PvP. You know, this is a solar weapon, so you could always pick up Disruption Break if you need to break solar shields and you need a primary for it. There's that for you. Eye of the Storm is always a nice, solid buff on a primary in the Crucible. So not a bad pickup if you get that. Headseeker is one that I think everyone really, really like seems to like on Reddit, and I don't feel like it's worth it.
Headseeker allows you to 4-crit 2-body against certain resiliences if you hit your first shot a body shot both times. So it makes the gun slightly more forgiving in a very situational manner.
Yeah.
It's okay. I had one with Headseeker before I got my one with Gilclip. It's not bad. I wouldn't say that I noticed myself getting 2-burst any more consistently than I do the base one, because the asking for the body crit is almost as hard as hitting 5 crits in one body, but it doesn't matter in what order they are, right?
Yeah. So I feel like you're sort of just better off trying to land 3 headshots. I don't think Headseeker is going to help you enough that I would want that as the perk over something that's going to help me in almost every engagement. You know, I feel like Eye of the Storm is a stronger choice because I'm going to get shot all the time. If I shoot somebody, they're going to shoot me back, and my second burst is going to be more accurate as a result.
Yeah, you know, I also like moving target. Yeah.
Is going to be on, you know, if I'm not playing a firmly planted version, just crouching and hoping that I don't get domed, moving target is actually super good for this gun.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those guns where it's like, well, are you talking about sixes or are you talking about threes, right? Because sixes and threes play very, very differently. And sixes, I'm almost always looking for perks that do increased damage for follow-up engagements, right? Because
yeah.
There's so many people in sixes, you're always running into a second person after the first person. And it's about how quickly can you clean up that second person when you're quite possibly already at critical health. Well, Killclip helps a lot with that. Rampage helps a lot with that, stuff like that. In this case, Killclip is really your only option. It doesn't have any other damage boosting perks. But in threes, it's very different. You're much less likely to be running into that. Still happens. I personally use my Killclip version in comp, and I do okay with it, so I'm not 100% concerned. But you know, something like Trials or Players are more cautious, you may be better off using Moving Target or Eye of the Storm, because those things are going to help you, you know, a little bit more in the first engagement as opposed to in the second engagement.
Yeah, especially on a high range weapon like this, I feel like you can get a lot of mileage out of Killclip. I don't mean to ignore it at all. You had already talked about it, so I wasn't going to necessarily retread that ground, but here we are. I think that covers all the perks that are like super worth having. I guess PvE, did we mention Demolitionist? That's one of the 12 perks in that column. Demolitionist is great on primaries in PvE. You can just pick up so many extra grenades. Honestly, it's not bad in PvP either. If that's the perk you get and you're happy with the rest of the role. I've been running, you know, all last season I ran a Demolitionist 9 Hunger. And I threw a ton of grenades. So
I think especially in Stasis right now, like for my Hunter, I would love a Demolitionist role if I didn't love Killclip so much. Right?
Yeah.
Like I would actually, you know, potentially use Demolitionist in threes, because each kill gets me a little bit more grenade energy, and I'm constantly, I hesitate to say crushing on those grenades, but I use those grenades a lot. Like,
yeah.
I really, really use those grenades a lot. So, you know, there's some good options here. But what I can say is that Stars and Shadow, until I get a trustee at least, is my go-to primary weapon paired with Bastion. So I replaced my Galliard 42, which was Sunset, with a Stars and Shadow and Bastion. So
fair enough. For my part, I just, the last week I have not been able to put Ace of Spades down, so I guess I just like less zoom.
Yeah, no, it's totally, I mean, higher zoom is a little bit disorienting, but
yeah.
You know, I also set my field of view to 105, so it's not nearly as bad as as it used to be. All right, guys, that is it for this episode. So that is episode 190. We're going to try to get an IRL episode out there this weekend talking about Mando once it concludes, which we're very excited about. And then that will be it for 2020. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna take Christmas off, and we'll see you on the other side of New Year's, and hopefully we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about when we come back for that. But it's been a great 2020. We appreciate it already, even before any of these three episodes have released. We are already at our most listens ever for a year. We're closing in on 180,000 listens this year, which is really, really incredible. So that really is, appreciate that.
I've got chills. Like, could we get 200K? Like, I don't know. I don't know about that.
No, there's no chance. There's no way we get 20,000 listens in the next.
But if you all put us on autoplay on Spotify, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Like that one, we had 1 month way back when we first started. It was actually 2 months way back when we first started. We're just like out of nowhere, we got 25,000 listens in like consecutive months. And we were like, what is going on? Because we'd never been over like 5,000 listens in a month before.
Yeah. That was weird. Like somebody had just like left us on autoplay for just a week at a time.
It wasn't just like one person. It was like 100 people, because the amount of time it would have taken to like rack up 25,000 listens with hour long episodes, it was crazy. And I still don't think we've broken 20,000 listens in a month since then.
Yeah.
Very crazy. All right. So, all right, guys.
You'll have your mission.
See you in 2021.
See you then.